But now let us return ourselves to the Gospel of Luke. If you would join with me in a short prayer. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my soul be always acceptable in thy sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I hope you had a good 4th of July this week. It was conveniently toward the end of the week, and I know I spent Thursday walking and driving around Iowa City, looking at the small flag displays, some backyard barbecues, and some front yard games that I'm not really sure about, but involved disc golf goals and many cups of beer. The students of Iowa City, I see, have continued to be creative in my absence. But in the interludes between my drives, my walks on that day, I thought back to the 7 years I spent in Boston, particularly when I read the Facebook updates of some of my still resident friends, one of whom reported that there were police officers every 100 feet on the Charles Street Bridge between Cambridge and Boston. And I looked around for any television coverage of Pops Goes the Fourth on the Esplanade, but I guess that A&E does not broadcast any of that anymore, and so I couldn't find it. But I did see some news reports saying that not only were there police officers every 100 feet along the bridge, but because, as many of you I'm sure know, the Sarnett brothers did not intend at first to bomb the Boston Marathon, but instead the 4th of July, that no bags were allowed on the Esplanade, and people were being searched just in case anyone was inspired by the violence and the chaos that they had caused. So we see heightened security there. And I wondered if that meant there were no more picnics. Because in the 7 years I lived in Boston, and this is how you know I truly went native, I did not attend one 4th of July concert on the Esplanade. I only did that in 1999 when I was visiting my friend Greg Cross from Iowa City Days, who at that time lived in Boston. But in 1999, when I was a tourist for the 4th of July in Boston, I brought a full picnic and a blanket to the Esplanade. I walked across the Boston Common and walked down to the banks of the Charles River and laid out my blanket and sat and baked in the sun until about 15 minutes from the end of the concert when I snuck off to a better view of the fireworks from a bridge. And I wondered if people could still do that. And I was sorry that the fear of attack made it less possible for this generation of concert goers and of Americans to enjoy that long-standing tradition of listening to the local band concert while enjoying a picnic dinner in the grass. The fear of the unknown coming close to home on a day that celebrates the way we recreate our notions of freedom every year and every generation. I've long thought of the 4th as a way to remember that we used to consider freedom the right of wealthy white men to decline payments of taxes for necessary services, later expanding it to mean the freedom not to be owned by another human being, and finally, for all adults to have a say in their government, among other things. And I thought about all the people over the years who saw the limitations of the current definition of freedom and felt called upon to do something about it. In Luke's gospel story, Jesus sends out 70 or 72 followers to 35 or 36 different places he might come to visit, charging them to leave immediately, stopping not even to pick up sandals or money, not even slow down to talk to anyone on the road. And he didn't say, and you will go and find riches there, and you will go and find food there, and go and be welcomed with open arms. No, he said he was setting you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. And so you wonder if one or two of those disciples might not have said, can I have a day, gather my things together before I go, maybe set up a store of food against what I might find in front of me, maybe go next time, maybe wait for you to come with me.
But Jesus had foreclosed that opportunity. He said, "No, the urgency is so great, you must not stop to prepare yourself. You are as prepared as you will ever be. You will not even have the safeguards of hospitality to rely upon, as I'm going to make you a burden on some family. You need to stay with them and accept their food and do work for the food, because you deserve to be paid. You deserve not to go around house to house saying, 'I am a guest in your house, please feed me.' But instead, you must stay with the family, for a laborer deserves to be paid. You'll be worthy of their payment." So they have to go right away, with urgency, no preparation. Go and do the work he has asked, and that will be enough to survive and succeed. When they come back, these scouts are amazed at what they have been able to do. They've cast out demons. They've healed the sick. The very things that Jesus has just been doing in front of them. They survived and they thrived in Jesus' absence. They did not think they were prepared for their mission, but they answered the call and found new abilities they had not known they possessed. And when they came back, they said, "It's amazing. Even the demons submit to us." And Jesus tells them, "Well, what did you think was going to happen? Did you think I was going to send you without giving you the power to overcome the obstacles in your path? But don't rejoice because you can cast out demons. Rejoice because you are with me." See, Jesus does a clever thing here. He shows them what they can accomplish when they are called upon to do it. What reserves of strength and confidence they might find for themselves when working without a safety net. Because Jesus knows they will have to work without a safety net at some point when he is gone. So he gives them a taste of what they can accomplish without him to give them confidence and hope for the future. He says, "When you must, you will be able to bring the peace to the world that I wish to see. When called, you will be able to serve. This is the freedom I give you." And when reading this and picturing the scenes at all the events on Thursday, I thought about that strength and that freedom from our own fears and doubts that Jesus gives to us in this commissioning. I think of the women and men who took up the mantle of abolition and were assaulted and beaten and killed by their lawful owners because of it. I think of the people who were called to guarantee the right of all people to vote and were threatened, harassed, assaulted, and killed because of it. I think of the suffragettes and the women who fight to this day to disabuse people of the notion that women are somehow less for being women. And I think of the people who ran 26.2 miles and then said, "I will run a mile more," carrying the wounded if that's what's needed. All these people could have found a reason to delay, could have found a way to escape the call without being blamed by us or by their neighbors or by their family, but the urgency was too great. And I thought, what prescience Jesus had to see the capacities for good and change that we have if only we can get out of our own heads, erase our own doubts, and move forward. I think of all the people who saw an impossible job, a job they had not been prepared for, a job they were not equipped for, but a job that needed doing, and then did it. And that's why Jesus' last line, the line we may be a little uncomfortable with here in our liberal Protestant church, is so important. "Do not rejoice at the power and the strength that you have," he says. "Do not rejoice that you have succeeded in conquering demons." That's the wrong way around. No, rejoice that you are with me and you will be with me. It is not the accomplishment that saves you. It is not the work that saves you. The accomplishment and work come because you have already conquered fear and taken up the task. By accepting the call, you have already won. It isn't about the demons. It isn't about the healing. Those things will come or won't. It's about seeing the task in front of you and saying, I am good enough. I am worthy enough. It doesn't matter if someone else might do this job better. I am here now, and the job is in front of me. We see it in the extraordinary every week, and we celebrate it and wonder whether we could do the same. Jesus tells us, yes, we can. When called upon, we will be able to do great things, if only we let ourselves.